Hello, and welcome to this episode of Bite Back Chats Books, where we chat to Lord Ashcroft. Lord Ashcroft is an international businessman, philanthropist, author, and pollster. He is also the former treasurer and deputy chairman of the Conservative Party. To date, Lord Ashcroft has written celebrated biographies of David Cameron, Jacob Rees-Mogg, and Sir Keir Starmer. Last year, he also published a biography of Boris Johnson's wife, Carrie, which provided a vivid account of how she influenced the government during their time in 10 Downing Street. Today, he tells us why he wrote his latest biography, All to Play For, The Advance of Rishi Sunak. He also shares his discoveries and revelations about Sunak, while speculating about Sunak's ability to lead the Conservatives to victory in the next election. Welcome back to the podcast, Lord Ashcroft. So I suppose my first question is, what prompted you to write about Sunak in the first place?
I first published a book about Rishi Sunak in the autumn of 2020. It was called Going for Broke, and I wrote that book because Rishi had made it to one of the great offices of state at a young age. He was only 39, and he had climbed the ladder to reach that point unusually quickly. And only a few months before being made Chancellor, he'd been a mere junior minister. So here was someone who, I felt at the time, might represent the future of the Conservative Party, and I wanted to know more about his life and career.
Can you tell readers how All to Play For is different to the previous book, Going for Broke?
All to Play For is the fully revised and updated edition of Going for Broke, so it's a continuation of the previous book. But the new edition picks up where Going for Broke left off and takes in all subsequent events, including the extraordinary circumstances under which he became Prime Minister last year and his first 9 months in the job.
So what kind of research did you do for the book? Was it hard to find people to go on the record? Who did you speak to?
I went over the original text and worked out if there were any areas that warranted development, and then it was a question of speaking to as many people as possible who know Sunak or have worked with him. People who contribute to contemporary politics books often do so anonymously for their own self-protective reasons. It's obviously the same when it comes to newspaper stories. Sources don't always want their name known, and readers have to trust that what is being said by an anonymous source is valid. But luckily, some MPs who know him well were prepared to go on the record and speak candidly, as readers will see.
What was the most surprising thing you learned in your research for the book?
I was greatly interested to learn more about the relationship between Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak. They would have supper together every Sunday when Boris was in number 10 and Rishi was in number 11. On a personal level, they were friendly, but things went wrong quite quickly. I think Boris had a hard time trusting Rishi, and Boris wanted to spend a lot of public money on things, whereas Rishi didn't want to do that at all. And that's my interpretation. And the relationship broke down. But then lots of people have found that's what happens with Boris.
So is Sunak what he appears to be on the tin?
Sunak probably is just what most people think he is. Yes, he's decent. He's a family man. He is socially conservative. He's hardworking. He is clever. I think most people would agree that he is all of those things.
Let's talk a bit more about your discoveries. What was your first impression of Sunak? And has this changed since writing the book?
I think I was quite impressed by him. It's hard not to be impressed by someone who's been able to climb the greasy pole of politics so quickly. Since looking into his life more closely, I have continued to be impressed. That doesn't necessarily mean I think that he is the complete package yet. In years gone by, politicians had more time to gain experience. An MP might spend 15 years in the House of Commons before even considering attempting to become party leader. Now, everything is done so quickly. I'm not sure that's always a good thing.
In the book, you weave through all the elements of Sunak's life and character to unearth what really makes him tick. One comment that stuck with me was your remark that he has an absence of want or fear. Has he always had this, or has it developed over time?
Well, I think he had a very stable home life as a boy, and that's bound to have had a positive effect on him. His parents worked extremely hard to give their children the best education they could afford, and he has taken his work ethic and general outlook on life from them. And I think his parents were very positive people who gave him the confidence to do well at school and beyond. He became the head boy at Winchester College. Then he got into Oxford. Then he did well in the city. And the rest you know. So you could argue that his stable childhood was a major contributor to this absence of want or fear.
Right, so who and what influences Sunak's political ideology? And who are his political allies and what does this say about him?
Sunak is interested in the past. He still reads the papers and speeches of the 1980s Chancellor Nigel Lawson, for example. And he's also interested in the future. He's driven by data. He has a fantastic ability to digest large amounts of information and make sense of it quickly, which is a huge advantage in a prime minister. But it does also mean he is labelled a technocrat, and some voters have a hard time connecting with someone who is seen that way. He's very close to the team around him in Downing Street. William Hague is known to have been something of a mentor to him as well. He certainly has plenty of friends in politics, but he is careful.
So what do you think were the key moments in Sunak's rapid ascent from newly elected MP to Prime Minister?
Apart from his ambition, Sunak owes his career to Boris Johnson and his chief advisor, Dominic Cummings. In early 2020, they wanted to replace Sajid Javid as Chancellor, and Sunak, who was a rising star at the time, was their pick. So this piece of political manoeuvring on Johnson's part was of great benefit to Sunak. But of course, Sunak only made it to number 10 when he did, in October 2022, because Liz Truss's administration collapsed within 6 weeks. I don't think anybody believed that could happen, but it did. And Sunak was waiting in the wings. And I wonder if anybody will ever become Prime Minister under these circumstances again.
Okay, so who or what has threatened or continues to threaten Sunak's premiership the most?
In terms of individuals who have wanted to see Sunak fail, they tend to be Boris Johnson's most ardent supporters in the parliamentary party. But some of them have drifted off now, people like Nadine Dorries. That threat has faded. I think the biggest threat to Sunak's premiership now comes from events beyond his control, such as whether judges allow him to pursue his Rwanda policy or whether the Bank of England continue to put up interest rates. If these things don't go his way, he will soon find out.
What steps should Sunak take then to secure his premiership ahead of next year's general election?
I cannot see any circumstances under which Sunak's leadership is going to be challenged before the next election. He just needs to work out how to sell himself and his policies to the country.
The title All to Play For implies that Sunak hasn't yet found success. What do you think counts as a successful premiership to him, the Conservative Party and the British public in general?
I think the title All to Play For is a bit more optimistic than that. I think it means that he is still in the game, or the game isn't over. As to the other part of the question, a successful premiership will be measured by everyone as Sunak winning the Tories a fifth term in office at the next election.
Okay, and then one final question. Which politicians would you compare Sunak to?
That's a good question. The thing about Sunak's situation is that so much of it is unusual. It's difficult to compare him to other politicians. He took over last year in the most unenviable circumstances, and since then he's had a massive task trying to reinvigorate a battered party and also trying to run a country that is increasingly complicated. I think that whatever happens at the next election, people will look back on this period and will be amazed that anybody would have wanted to have been Prime Minister. I think he may well end up being the yardstick against which future politicians are measured.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Bite Back podcast. All to Play For, The Advance of Rishi Sunak, is out now. Head to the Bite Back website to use the exclusive 20% off code PLAY20. And do get in touch with us on Twitter with your questions or queries at Bite Back Pub.